Hey friends, just a quick note to say how much we appreciate any donations to Health Freedom for Humanity. We pride ourselves on being low overhead, so any money you donate goes directly to the very things that are active in the fight for freedom. Things like the website, administrative costs, and small salaries for those that are coordinating the work. In the future, we look forward to setting up local chapters in each state and being more activist-driven while still giving you the content you need to stay informed. Simply go to healthfreedomforhumanity.org/donate and give to your heart's content. Thank you so much for your participation.
Welcome back to another episode of Health Freedom for Humanity's podcast series, Voices of the Victims. In this episode, we interview Shamgar Connors, who is a 42-year-old man from Virginia who has been on a transplant list for over 3 years now, hoping to receive a new kidney. Unfortunately, the transplant center at UVA, where he was scheduled to receive his transplant, has told him he's being removed from the transplant list because he has chosen not to inject himself with a COVID shot. This is by far one of the most frustrating conversations I've had so far. Since meeting Shamgar, there has been a number of people coming forward saying that they have been going through the same thing, where hospitals are just denying patients who've been on these transplant lists, people who need this for survival. And the hospitals are ultimately just making decisions now for people. You have no say anymore. We really need to shine the light on this topic because this has to stop. This madness that we are seeing in the hospital system, I feel like every episode we have, we keep hearing these horror stories where they're just not respecting patient rights and choices. If you feel that this episode would benefit anyone, please do share it. We need to put a stop to this. These hospitals need to be held accountable. This transplant center in Virginia needs to know that they are in the wrong and that they do not have a right to make decisions for their patients. But let's hear what Shamgar has to say about what has happened and maybe how we as a community can come together and help people like him. Let's have a listen. Thank you so much, Shamgar, for joining us today on this episode. I cannot believe your story. When your story came across my path, I was just, my mind was blown. I just cannot believe what's happening in our medical system. It's been completely hijacked. And your story, since speaking to you last week, I have learned of a couple other people who are in the same situation as you, where you are actually not vaccinated, but you're on a kidney transplant list. And you've been on that list, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, for a few years now. You've been waiting, but now you've been denied and removed from that list because of your choice not to receive this injection. Is that correct? Do you want to kind of talk to our listeners and tell them what's going on with you?
Basically, that's how it went. I've been on the transplant list for 3 years. The first year I was inactive, but they put me on it because they were like, yeah, your kidneys are getting really bad. We better put you on this. Because as soon as you switch over to dialysis, which I did 2 years ago, that's when you become active. So I've been active on the list. I've been doing all their appointments. Normally it's a yearly checkup visit where I go down there and I have a panel of doctors I go see all day long and talk with them about every single thing about my health. And then I have to do all these tests, like a heart test and every test and a bunch of scans and blood tests all the time. So once I did all what I was supposed to do for that, my last appointment with them was October 6, 2020. And then I didn't have another one until it was January 6th of this year because they had to postpone it numerous times because of COVID. So then they said, okay, we'll do it over a telehealth visit and because of COVID. And I said, all right, cool. That saves me a drive for about 2 hours one way. So I was like, all right, that's fine with me. And then I'm on the phone with them. And then they asked me about, one guy asked me, are you going to get the vaccine? I said, no. And he said, yeah, a lot of people have that stance. Okay. And then the next doctor, that was a social worker that said that. Then the doctor called me up. And then the doctor was talking to me. And the whole conversation is 12 minutes long. But the one I put on my YouTube channel is just the clip where it really matters. The rest of it is like talking about, oh, how's your health? What's going on? Just, you know, just stuff that doesn't really matter. Well, I mean, for the story anyway, but she announces her name as Karen Warburton at UVA Transplant Center. She's one of the nephrologist team people. And then all of a sudden, after asking me all these questions and going all through all this stuff, she's like, oh, well, are you going to get a vaccine? I was like, well, no, why do I need it? I have natural immunity now. I had COVID right around Thanksgiving and I got over it. I'm fine. And she's like, well, if you won't get the vaccine, then you can't be active on the transplant list. Now, what that means is to be active, if you're placed, she said you'd be placed inactive. Being placed inactive means even if someone comes there, even a live donor that wants to give you an organ, they'll tell you, nope, you aren't active on the list, so we won't operate on you. So especially if another donor comes forward, I mean, it's your spot, it should be anyway on the list, they skip you. That's it. Too bad. And obviously, I was never going to be taken out of that status. So basically, she tries to ask me, oh, well, do you want us to just take you off the list and just quit the program, or do you just want to become inactive? And I wasn't going to give them the easy out and be like, oh, yeah, I'll just quit, because this is obviously infringing on my rights. So I was just like, no, just keep me as active. And then I tried to talk to her a little bit about it, and then she just denied everything I said. And then I said I wanted to try and claim a religious exemption because obviously with a name like Shamgar, I'm religious, I'm very Christian. So then she said, no, we don't do that. And it was just scary because she had no empathy whatsoever in her voice. It's like, basically it was one of these people that's so obsessed with the vaccine that the second they hear you say you don't want it, then that's it. You're persona non grata. You're nothing. You deserve to die. They probably hope you die. I mean, see, I've seen a lot of it lately. That's a whole nother thing. But it's just, so then that's how that part of the story goes with, I just, after that conversation, then she said they were supposed to have other people call me, the rest of the people on the team, nothing. I haven't heard a thing. It's just like, I just became, you know, a nothing person. They put me in the nothing hole. I'm memory hole. I'm gone. And I've never heard back from them at all when I was supposed to. And they've sent me no paperwork. They've done nothing. So it's just, is that part of the story? And then I don't know if you want me to keep going with when I found the records, or do you want?
Well, I'm just really quickly, I'm curious. So I heard this this call that you had with her. It was very shocking. Yeah. What I heard, I couldn't believe what I heard. It was she's rude and condescending to you, in my opinion. Do you want to talk to us about that conversation? And some of the things that she said to you were appalling. I can't believe that a medical professional, someone in her position who's dealing with someone who's ill enough to be on a transplant list, and she's talking to you like your life or your opinion and your choices don't matter.
Like I'm dirt. I mean, basically, I tried to tell her about that. Why do I need the vaccine? I just had COVID. It's kind of like having chicken pox and then being like, oh, you still need the vaccine for it. No, that's not true. And, you know, the way she was just speaking down to me, and I tried to tell her, you know, my chances of survive, even if I got COVID, are like 99.999, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe I put up with too many nines. But I mean, the fact is it's still above 99%. You know, yeah, I got sick when I had COVID, let's say around Thanksgiving. Here's the kicker of the story that makes it even better to tell that proves that these people don't know what they're doing is that when I was sick with COVID, I was real sick. My wife being a nurse, she was panicking because she's personally seen everybody that pretty much she's been treating COVID patients the whole time, right? So she's seen people get on remdesivir and then it shuts down your organs. And then after your organs shut down, you go on the ventilator and then you're dead. So she was panicking. She was very worried. She's like, you can't go in the hospital. They'll kill you. Like, you know, so I had a friend bring over some ivermectin. And then I took that and I had a pulsometer, a pulse ox thing that you put on your finger and it tells you your heartbeat and your pulse, your oxygen level. My oxygen levels were in the 80s. I was having a tough time because I am in the bracket where I have a comorbidity, right? So I should be, according to mainstream media, I shouldn't be alive right now. Nobody should ever be alive in my position. So I took some ivermectin, and then within 24 hours, I was better, 100% better. Fine. I was barely even sick anymore. So then I just stayed on that. And then my wife got COVID. My kids got it. So my two kids got it. My son's 6 and my daughter's 2. But they were playing like nothing happened. And then when my wife got sick, she also, like, you know, she was hesitant to do it being a nurse, right? But she took some ivermectin and then she got better too. So it's just, that's it in alone that, you know, they would really put my picture on the wall and throw darts at it if they found out I had taken ivermectin. But whatever, I'm proof that it worked. And so is my wife, you know? And then, so I was basically just trying to tell this lady, I'm not scared of COVID. I already defeated it. And if I got it again, I'm sure I'd defeat it again. And she didn't like that one, you know, because then she tried to tell me that my data is inaccurate. But I'm pulling my data from the CDC website. So then that makes me trust them even less there because it's like, well, where are you getting your data from? On top of that, there's also studies that I've seen personally and other people have showed me and that are widely published, peer-reviewed, where if they did a study recently in Toronto where if you had COVID, got over it, and you had natural immunity, you'd have a more successful transplantation rate than if you had the vaccine for COVID. And that's documented. That's not even me just making it up and just being, you know, obstinate about this. No, that's actually the truth. So I was trying to relay this to this woman. And, you know, when she's like, so you're not going to get it? Like, just the condescending way she was saying it, it sounded like she wanted to argue with me after I already said, no, I don't want to get the vaccine. And a lot of people have been putting pressure on me to get this. So maybe I was a little dramatic and I was like, no, I'd rather die of kidney failure. But I was just trying to make the point. No, nothing is going to change my mind. You know, I know too many people that have gotten hurt by the vaccine. My wife definitely has seen it working in the hospital. She's seen people that have been vaccinated. They're the ones piling up the hospital and filling it up. They're the ones getting sick. They're the ones having all these reactions. The fact of the matter is, I already know that I'm sick. I already know that I have a health issue. Why would I risk taking something that would and could most likely hurt me even more? And then why would I add that on to the mix? I'm sure if I added on something else to me, then I wouldn't survive it. And then I don't want to do that to my children. I want to be around for them. So
yeah,
for the time being, that's what I wanted. I'd rather not do it. And if they want to take me off the list in retaliation because I won't get their experimental drug that's proven to hurt people and proven ineffective, okay, then that's fine with me. I'm not going to let them bully me. So that was the main point, was this. I'm not going to let them blackmail me or bully me. And I got pretty upset, you know, when she was basically saying, oh, well, you won't take this experimental thing that has nothing to do with your kidneys, really. But if you don't take it, now we're going to deny you a transplant. Even though, like, I try to work out every day, try to eat healthy. I try to do everything they say so I could be like a good candidate for the list. I'm not doing anything else. And then I hear that. That's really frustrating, especially after being on this for 3 years.
Shamgar, that's the first thing I noticed about you is how healthy you look. You can tell that you obviously, you know, take care of yourself. Can you give us a little bit more background on your kidney issues? Like what happened?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I've been peeing out protein ever since I was a kid. There's this thing called FSGS. One doctor told me they think I had strep throat and somehow that hurt my kidneys and started the scarring process. And once the scarring thing starts, basically the protein like goes through the tubules, but then it pushes through them and then it leaks out in your urine. But when it does that, it causes scarring. And then it just becomes a compounded effect. The worse it gets, the faster you decline. Here I am, you know, and so you could tell by, like, if you pee in the toilet and then it's really foamy, then that means there's a lot of protein in urine. So you probably want to get it looked at. So I've just had that my whole life. And then eventually it just caught up to me. And then right before I started dialysis, it got really bad. Like, I was doing okay. It wasn't really great, but I was okay at least. And then all of a sudden it just dropped off. And then boom, I was not even, my kidneys just weren't working at all. And then I gained like 50 pounds of water weight. Basically, I almost died because I couldn't sleep at night laying down because the fluid would shift like up in my throat and on my face and everything. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to do emergency peritoneal surgery to start the dialysis in my stomach. But when they did that, I was already overloaded with so much fluid. I couldn't even bend my knees. Literally, it was that bad. Then I got a hernia from trying to do it. That sucked. So then they had to stick that thing in my neck here to do hemodialysis. And I had to do that for a while until I could try to do peritoneal dialysis again. And then I tried to do peritoneal dialysis again. And then I got a peritoneal infection. And I was in the hospital for a week where that was horrible. But then, so then they had to remove the peritoneal catheter and keep doing me on hemodialysis. And then I had to wait for the infection to go away, which took quite a while, took weeks. And then I had to get the hernia surgery and then I had to let that heal. And then they had to do the surgery again for the peritoneal dialysis thing. And then I finally got the thing out of my neck and I'm doing peritoneal dialysis at home. And it's on this machine in my bedroom. And it's like you hooked up to this tube and there's a bunch of bags of fluid. And then so I'm on it for 12 hours a night. It puts the fluid in your stomach. It's about almost 3 liters of fluid. And then every hour and a half, it pulls it back out. So I'm on that for 12 hours. It takes like a half hour each time.
So it's like a full-time job for you and your wife, for you to stay alive, basically. I mean, you've been in this protocol for a long time. Have you ever had any run-ins with your medical team, the kidney transplant team, before this?
No, that's why another reason I was so frustrated on the phone and upset, because it was like I was blindsided with this. No one's ever even said that the flu shot was necessary before this, right? And now all of a sudden it's that, oh, well, now you have to get all these shots. It was really frustrating to me that they sprung this on me like that. And then just out of nowhere. And then it was just, oh, too bad, but you don't get a choice. You just have to do what we tell you.
Another question I have is, in terms of like their reasoning, did they give you a reason? Like, could you infect somebody else in the transplant room?
All that she said was Fauci's magic words. The science is clear on the vaccine. That's what she said in the recording. Like, I tried to say stuff. She's like, oh, well, that's inaccurate data. The science is very clear on the vaccines. Okay, well, no, I made a joke about it. And I said how now I've lost all trust in these people. And, you know, I wouldn't ask them to change my tire on the side of a road during a zombie apocalypse because just...
We're in the middle of right now, so
yeah.
Right.
That's what I said. And I said, you know, now the phrase is, it's like, instead of zombies walking around like, ooh, brains, they're literally saying, oh, Fauci. So I say, you know, be a zombie, follow the Fauci. That's the slogan, really, I think. I mean, I'm trying to make light of it a little bit because it's just so crazy. It's just one, I guess, the way to deal with it. But that's how they act. I mean, that's the thing. I wouldn't let them change my tire in a zombie apocalypse rather than change out my kidney, because the way she spoke to me, it just seemed, I don't know, just, I don't want to call her names, but it just seemed unfair, like that she was unwilling to even listen to perhaps anything I had to say not even me like pretending I'm a doctor, but me just citing other doctors that have made studies. You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to hear records? You want to hear the numbers from the CDC? You know, so it's just made me lose a lot of faith and trust.
Well, I think it's I think it's amazing that you're able to have, you know, this, you know, still kind of make light of the situation and have a sense of humor in a time that's really difficult for you and your family. I can't imagine what you're going through. I just can't. This is the fact that you have to justify why you don't want something to save your life. So, you know, essentially she had said to you on the call, and I had heard this recording that you had, she had said to you, basically, well, you've made your choice. I guess you don't want a new kidney. And it's like, you've had COVID already, and you have like this, you know, natural immunity possibly, right? This is a choice. You can choose whether you want to have this or not. So if that's a risk that you or any other patient wants to take, then that should be your choice. So, you know, they're saying in one sense, like, okay, we want you to take this injection that has already shown to be ineffective and has harmed a lot of people, so that you can get this surgery. If you don't get it, you might die. But now they're also saying, well, you're going to die anyways, because if you don't do what we want you to do, we're not going to help you. Earlier when we were just kind of starting out, you had kind of given me a little update on what has happened since last week. Do you want to talk about this chart or my chart situation that you were telling me about?
But first I'll just say, without my faith, without God in my life, I am sure I would be a giant disaster, because mm-hmm. I'd be looking at, like, I would feel like I have no hope. But when I said before, when I came home, I told my wife about this meeting on the phone, this telehealth visit, and she was devastated because she's a nurse. So she was just absolutely she thought I was dead. She thought that was it. And then she was bawling her eyes out, crying, devastated. And I just told her right then and there, I just had a lot of faith right then and there. And I just had a feeling that God was going to turn this around for better. So I told her that God's going to use this and turn this around for better. So I have a lot of hope that I think a lot of good can come from this. I mean, that you can quote it from the Bible, Romans 8:28, you know, God's going to take whatever is bad and turn it for good. So that's what I believe. And that's what I'm keeping my faith in. And I think that's one of the main things that helps me keep a positive attitude about this and not just, you know, turn into some angry monster. Yeah, I have some righteous anger about this, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, that's, I think the strength isn't just my own. It's God working through me. And so I'm blessed to have that. And, you know, I'm blessed to have everyone's prayers. So I need to thank everybody for that too. And I'm just, you know, staying strong in the faith. But back to the other question was, like, what's the updates from this? Well, after this happened, you know, I when I was going to get interviewed at Fox News, like, well, how do we really know this is true? You know, because they're like, we need to send this to the legal team. I'm like, okay, I'm going to look up the records then. And I never did this because I just didn't really care. Because I just was like, okay, well, I was at the appointment. I know what happened. So I downloaded the records from the UVA MyChart Health portal. Now, this is where the story gets even crazier for everyone. Was that basically now, because I refused this super safe and effective, quote unquote, vaccine, they're saying that basically I'm crazy. And I deserve to be placed on some psychological therapy council to even ever think about ever even getting a transplant. And then I'm going to be put on the disciplinary team as well. So I'll read it just so everybody has what it says. I'll read a couple of the excerpts. If people want more, I can get more. But when it says my chart visit summary, there's bullet points. Okay. And then one of the bullet points is number 4. It says refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine. We discussed at length that this is a requirement for active listing. And then she put in quotes what I said. I'd rather die than have an mRNA vaccine. I can show you hundreds of reports of why this vaccine is killing people. And then below that, it's in bold. Okay, this is the only part in the document that's in bold. And it says, overall, Mr. Connors was somewhat difficult to converse with on the phone. his stance on the COVID-19 vaccine is concerning. He demonstrated hostility and a very close approach to discussion around this issue. He at first cited concerns based on his research of the science, then tried to claim a religious exemption. He also seemed to have little understanding of his own health/medical history, telling me to look it up when I had questions. I would want to explore his candidacy from a psychosocial standpoint with our transplant social work team and remaining members of our team before we activate him on the list, even if/when he's medically ready. And then it says, his case will be presented at a forthcoming multidisciplinary patient selection meeting where input from all the members of the transplant team will be solicited and a decision regarding the listing status. So if this wasn't already alarming enough, I read these medical records yesterday and I am fuming. I am very upset because now I'm seeing the bigger picture here that not only are they just okay with blatantly disrespecting my ADA rights and disrespecting my constitutional rights for religious freedoms, now they're basically trying to circumvent that by saying he's crazy. He's too wild, too crazy to get a transplant. So we're kicking him off the program. And so that's why this is a bigger issue than just me fighting for a kidney for myself. This is me fighting for everyone's health care, even people that disagree with me that don't understand this yet. And I've said this before, because it's today they're coming for me and tomorrow they're coming for you. Because if they can just start doing this to me, why would they stop? Why would they stop here? Why next it'll be, oh, you're too heavy, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too short, you have the wrong eye color, you have the wrong skin color, you have the wrong sexual orientation. You smoked for a couple years of your life. Well, we don't feel like giving you health care. Oh, you made the wrong turn down a street and got in an accident. Well, that's too bad. That's your fault. We're not giving you health care. Like it could go anywhere. And this is the slippery slope we're on. And that's why I'm making such a big deal. That's why I'm so grateful for you guys to have me on to try to expose this, because people need to understand just how serious this is right now. And, you know, people give me a hard time. They're like, oh, why don't you just get the vaccine? You have kids. This is why, because I have kids. I need to fight this fight, because if I don't, what's going to happen when they grow up and this is happening to them? And then I look back and then I think, gee, I could have done something when I had the chance and I didn't. I would forever feel guilty for that. I would feel horrible. So I want to make sure that I fight this. But everyone needs to understand this is even more concerning about this whole situation, is that they're going to start telling everybody they're crazy for not getting the COVID-19 vaccine.
Shamgar, I want to ask you, in your 3 years that you've been on the list, the transplant, you've been working with the same team, right, the same hospital. Right. Have they ever given you like a takeaway, like if you don't do X, Y, and Z, we're going to kick you off the transplant list?
Not really. I mean, they said I had to do like the cardio tests and these other tests and just the blood work and, you know, stay constant with doing that. Yeah, but
that's to assess your health, correct? That's right, to make sure that your health is good and that you're a good candidate physically, right, for the transplant. Good. But so they've never said like you must do this or we're going to kick you off until this point, like you pointed out earlier, they've never required you to get the flu shot. They've never required you to get other things or you'll be taken off.
Yeah, that's why this was so frustrating for me on the phone, because it just felt like it came out of left field. I was not expecting it. I had no idea that this was coming. I had no idea. I never thought that anyone would ever say this to me ever, because it's just so blatantly wrong.
And then when the nurse was talking to you, do you think that she gave you a really good informed consent information about the pros as well as the cons of the vaccine, that there could be some dangers, that there are sometimes some side effects from the vaccines? Did you hear that from her?
Not at all. Like I said earlier, the only thing she said was, though, the science is very clear on the vaccines. That was it.
No informed consent whatsoever about the pros and the cons of the vaccine from your healthcare provider.
She had no intentions on providing that at all. It was, this vaccine, you're going to do it because I said so. And you have to just not question it. You're not allowed to question anything for your own health. This is how it is. Too bad.
Wow. That's just, I can't. And the thing is that this thing that people need to realize is that this isn't just happening to you, right? I mean, Shamgar, we were talking, I had heard about somebody else recently who was in a similar situation. And then you had told me you had a number of people reach out to you since coming public with your story and saying that they've been in the same situation. So what I don't understand is how, you know, you've been on this list for, you said, more than 3 years now, and there's never been a problem. Yeah, right. There's never been an issue. You've never had anyone say that, oh, you know, you're not complying or doing what we need you to do. You've been doing everything that one would do to keep yourself healthy and fit and to follow, you know, whatever steps that they've, you know, requested or required along the way. And then, you know, this is an eye opener all of a sudden now, because you don't want this one injection. They're going to take all this time that you've put into your health away from you, right? I mean, so is there another list? Is the list that you're on specific just for your state? Is there like a nationwide list? How does that work?
So I guess what the process is now was, I went back to my kidney doctor. I even had another telehealth visit with them today. They're filling out the paperwork for iNova and VCU. I guess the way I think insurance works is that my best guess about what I've been told so far is that I would have to try to go in state first, otherwise they wouldn't cover the surgery and stuff. And obviously the surgery is crazy expensive, so that's not really an option to just go somewhere else really right now. Plus, like, when you recover from getting a transplant, I'm sure you guys already know, like, it takes a while to recover. You have to be right next to the transplant center. You have to make sure that it works. And then sometimes when people get kidneys, even if it's from a live donor, then the kidney doesn't work for weeks. So you got to sit there and you got to be tested and monitored. So if I went out of state, I'd have to have someone go with me. That'd be, you know, I don't know what I'd do with my kids and everything. There's a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, for right now, they're going to try to do that. But they've already told me at the office that they think that these other hospitals are requiring the vaccine too. And like you were saying earlier, like, I told you there's been dozens of people that have written to me talking about, oh no, can you help me? I can't get a transplant in whatever state they're in because the same exact thing. It's literally happening across the country right now, everywhere. It's almost like it's coordinated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's all happening at the exact same time, which is, that's why I'm saying it looks coordinated, because just everywhere at once. All these people are reaching out to me, telling me, and these people, you know, that's what gets me even more upset. These people are even more sick than me. I know this one really great lady, her name's Robin. She's up in Massachusetts. And then she's been on the list. She's been on like 5 years for her liver. She's real sick. If she bumps into a table, she's dead because she'll bleed out internally, right? She's real bad. And then she was about to get a transplant. And then they just told her, no, if you don't get the vaccine, too bad. And these doctors were horrifically mean to her. And it's just sad. It's just sad to see this happening to all these people, and they're really good people. And, you know, that to just be denied medical treatment because you won't get this experimental drug is really scary and really sad. And that's, you know, why I want to fight for all these people about this. You know, I feel like if I have to put on the mantle and be the poster boy for this, fine. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm ready for this battle, and I'm not going to back down. Because I think it's something that needs to happen, not just for me, but for all these other people that are way more sick than me.
I just want to highlight to all of us again, and for the people watching. So basically, you've had no issues with the transplant team. You've been on it with, you know, no conflicts at all. You've been following their protocols, showing up for appointments, getting tested, taking care of your health. Obviously, your wife is a nurse. And then because they've never required anything else of you, no shots or vaccines before, but now they finally got you in after you had like over a year gap in your appointments. You got in and the nurse just basically demanded, said you had to get the COVID shot in order to stay on the transplant list. Mm-hmm. And because you challenged that and pointed out actual CDC information, they now are wanting to refer you to a psych evaluation because they say that they're inferring that you're not mentally well because you don't want. And so they've taken you off the transplant list. And they're saying that even if you were to get back on the transplant list, they still want you to have a psych eval because they question your mental capacity because you're challenging and refusing to take a vaccine that they're not even pointing out would be necessary for you to prevent infecting someone else or even for your own health and your own good. So without reason and also without any informed consent of the negatives that could come, the side effects that could come with the vaccine, now they want you to be referred for a psych eval. I mean, it's like so insane. It's like a science fiction novel,
right?
But we're dealing with, you know, you're a real person and you have a family and you have children. Mm-hmm. And it's mind boggling to me.
What's even worse is, you know, my wife being a nurse, now they're being told, nurses and doctors, that even if they have COVID, they have to still go on to work. So who's to say that even if I get the vaccine, let's pretend I did, which I'm never going to do, by the way. even if I did and I was getting an operation, who's to say I wouldn't be getting operated on by somebody that had COVID? And then that means that I'm already in an immunocompromised state. I'm getting a surgery. I would have to get on a bunch of immunosuppressants. Who's to say that I wouldn't get COVID right then and there and die from the doctor that had it? So it's just, that's what gets me even more upset about all this is the hypocrisy, just the doublespeak, you know, because how can you not think about those kind of events happening when...
It's also, there's just absolutely zero critical thinking whatsoever. There's no explanation for what they're doing or what they're saying. There's actually no medicine or science behind any of it other than what they are hearing, right? And latching onto and indoctrinated to believe. It's like she's a robot just merely repeating, you know, what she's heard, but there's no, it's very hypocritical and there's no science really behind it at all.
Yeah.
That's the... That's what makes you even more upset about it. It's like you were saying earlier, like there was no explanation to me on why I should get the vaccine and no explanation on, well, you know, there's risks with everything. Here's the risks that you could have. It was just shut up and do it. Shut up, take the jab. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the conversation between you and that doctor and I'm sitting here talking to you now. You seem like someone of sound mind.
They might say I was crazy because I taught middle school for 14 years. But I'd like to say that, you know, that's helped me deal with crazy people because you're dealing with a bunch of crazy kids all day. So that's why I could probably stay calm with her on the phone. But yeah, I mean, if I was actually crazy and, well, nowadays there's a lot of crazy teachers out there, so I guess I can't really say, but if I was actually really crazy, you know, yeah, probably wouldn't last that long in the profession. I would have been.
Yeah. I mean, but where does her, you know, where does what she's saying, like, hold any weight anyways? I mean, what is she basing this off of? What is she basing your mental status off of? Simply the fact that you are denying or that you are choosing not to do this.
That's what it says right there. Yep. That was difficult to converse with on the phone. I wasn't difficult to converse with on the phone. Sure, I was a little frustrated being, you know, swung at from left field out of this craziness. And I was just like, where is this coming from? And I definitely felt in the moment, yeah, this is infringing on my rights. This is wrong. But I wasn't even difficult to converse with. If anyone wants to see it, I can upload the whole conversation. It's 12 minutes long. If anyone wants it, it's just, I was just answering the questions. And when I said, look it up, she was asking me what my blood work numbers were. She's the doctor. She's supposed to interpret those. That's why I said, look it up. I mean, absolutely. I wasn't being a jerk about it. I was just like, you want to know the exact numbers of all my blood works that I've been having for every 2 weeks, every week? Okay, you're going to have to look those records up. And you have them. You have access to them. It's in the patient portal. Go get them. Like,
right.
If you want to see like just how low the numbers are, because I am immunocompromised. My white blood cell count is low. Red blood cell count's low. Hematocrit's low, hemoglobin's low because of being in kidney failure. It's just part of what happens with kidney failure. All your blood work goes to poop. And so I was just telling her to look up. Nowhere once, I was never mean.
Sure, no.
Did I think about it in the moment? Yep, because I was really upset. But it was like I actually act on it and start just flipping out? No, because I wasn't going to do anyone any good.
No.
So I didn't do that. I just stayed strong in what I believed. I think that's something that really makes these people mad. When you stand up for your beliefs and you say, I'm never getting this shot. Because if until you say that, somehow they think that they're going to convince you. Somehow that they think they're going to hold and dangle something over your head and they're going to be able to, you know, beat you down and blackmail you. And so that's why I made such a strong statement. I'd rather die a kidney failure, because I just want to get the point across. Nope, you're never going to get me to do it. I mean, not even just because I'm worried about the side effects from it, because yeah, I still do think that it violates me religiously. You know, me being my body's my temple, and you know, I don't want to have my basically not exactly the same, but have an mRNA vaccine and have my genetics modified, whatever it does. It doesn't act like a normal vaccine of the past where it was dead viruses that your body could just use to make antibodies. So, no, I don't want that. I feel like, you know, we all watched scary movies as a kid. What was always the premise of the movie? It was playing God and like creating some mutant animal, right? Or some mutant monster. So, no thanks. I'm not going to try to play God and mess with the way God created me.
I think that's really interesting though, Shamgar, because that's actually what they're doing with you, is mm-hmm. they are actually playing God with your life and making mm-hmm. the decisions that should be left up to you to have personal choice. And I also want to mm-hmm. highlight, it's very interesting listening to you and the way that they've been conversing with you. And this is happening all over. It's definitely happening with government. And now we definitely see it happening with healthcare, where instead of it being a partnership and people working together, it's somehow shifted into people that you're actually paying, right? We pay our politicians. We pay the people that work in government. You pay your insurance premiums. Those doctors are actually working for you, right? But somehow it's flipped into this very authoritarian, like, you know, they are above you. They know better. You're the child. You're the wayward, you know, misbehaving child now. Mm-hmm. And it's completely imbalanced. And it's like insane to watch, because again, you pay for their care. They're being paid by you and your insurance company, but somehow they're flipping it now where they're acting like God. It's insane. That's all I can say. Yeah. It's insane.
It's scary. It's very scary that these people think that they get to play God with your life. They get to be dictators of your life when you're paying them. I mean, if someone was paying me to do a job, I wouldn't just be like, all right, this is how every single thing you have to do everything I say.
Right.
Like, it's completely backwards. It just, mm-hmm. people have lost their minds. And this is just happening in all over the place. It's just people think they're entitled and just go crazy with this. And like, but see, that there's something going on with the mindset of all these people that are obsessed with this vaccine. Like, so another thing that you might want to take note of is now that I got my name out there about this and I'm standing up for this, there's a website called sorryantivaxxer.com. I just found out.
I've seen it. Yeah. It's
and
insane.
I'm on the front page. I am the poster.
What?
Oh yeah. These people have lost their minds. Wow. And there's thousands of comments. Now they are just absolutely, they're calling for my death. They're praising and hoping and worshiping that I die. They're openly saying that they hope I die. And then some of them are like, well, he should get the vax so he can live, but I hope he dies. Like, it's crazy. They're saying the craziest things ever. Now, what these people don't understand is I'm the oldest of 9 children. This is just another day at the office for me. Okay. Like growing up with 9, with 6 sisters, 2 brothers.
Yeah.
You tend to hear nothing mm-hmm. but nonstop crap talking every day, right? So it's not, it upsets me, sure. It really upsets my wife, because then they start attacking my wife. We've had people write to me and write to my wife. One person, one of the messages I got yesterday was, you don't deserve an effing kidney. I hope you die, you freaking terrorist. What? And then that same person wrote to my wife, I can't wait till your husband dies. He's a worthless terrorist, deserves to die.
Like, terrorist.
Yeah, and then
now you're being labeled a terrorist. That's a new one.
And now I'm a terrorist because I won't get an experimental drug that doesn't work that I don't need. So
that should be your choice. That should be your personal choice.
So these people are sitting there They're trying to dox me. They're coming on my page, hundreds of them at a time, just saying horrible things about me. Just openly saying, I hope I die. And so, yeah, now I'm blocking them. At first, everyone was like, oh, block them. But I wanted everyone to see just how truly depraved and evil these people are. Okay? We have to make the distinction here that people that don't want the vaccine, we most likely don't care if you get it. Okay? We probably wouldn't recommend it, but we understand that you should have the choice, and we respect that. These people do not respect that you should have a choice. They believe you should have no choice, no say in anything. You should just do as you're told, shut up. And then if you don't, you deserve to die. And they will wish death upon you. So I let it ride up for a little while, and then people were writing me, you need to block everybody. You need to do this. And I'm like, you know what? Right, for right now, let's let this go, and let's show people just how sick these people are. Just imagine this. How horrible is it? How depraved do you have to be to sit there and think, okay, here's this guy telling his story. He's already terminally ill. He has a terminal illness. He's not going to get treatment for it. They're not going to let him have it. He's going to die. Let me go and make fun of this person and his children and his wife, and let me go wish death upon him right now. You have to be the most evil person on this planet to think that way and act it out.
Let me say something to that, Shamgar, because this is so important. First, I want to say this to you. I give you so much credit for the way that you're handling this situation. Again, to reference that phone call, you handled yourself so well. You were so calm. As a matter of fact, you know, you expressed your feelings, exactly what you felt. In no way did I ever hear you, you know, get out of line or say or do anything inappropriate. These people that you see online, there's two things I have to say to that. One is we are living in a time where people are under this mass formation psychosis. It is very clear that this is happening right now. And people have they've been wearing this mask for 2 years. They have been living in fear, hibernating at home, not interacting with each other socially. And that plays a huge toll on people's mental well, their emotional and mental wellness. And I think also you have to remember too that there are people out there who are getting paid to harass other people. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the government put that page up for all we know. I really wouldn't put it past them to do something that sick. Please do not take, and for your wife as well, anything that is said on there with any grain of salt. Like, I mean, just roll it off your back. I know it's easier said than done, but you have already proven that you have so much more class than that. And you rise above that. And I have faith that, you know, we're going to find you. There are so many people out there who will support you and will find you the help that you need. And in the end, we win no matter what happens, no matter what happens for you down the road. The fact that you are speaking up for yourself and for other people says so much about you and your character. And the fact that you can make a decision like this, that a lot of people are just not doing the research, and you have done that. Right.
Obviously, definitely. And then, you know, like I said earlier, my wife being a nurse, I have maybe an inside connection to inside information about this stuff, but yeah, that's just what it is, that there's a lot of research I've been doing. And it's not just like, oh, I just took this random thing that someone said somewhere at a grocery store. No, I've been hearing about this for ever since it started a couple of years ago. My wife's been watching this. So yeah, I have a lot of reasons why I wouldn't do this. And yeah, I'm not going to let these people, I'm not going to let them really affect me. It's still difficult to not get upset, and it's still hurtful to see that there's so many crazy people out there just being so horrifically evil and mean. But I mean, these people they need to get prayed for. There's something seriously wrong with them, and I whether they're wrestling with their own demons or whatever is going on, I think a lot of these people. I think really a lot of these people are just upset that they know they got duped they know that they got duped with those 5 million boosters and, you know, oh, get your booster, you boost, like, and then nothing's changed for them. Everyone was told, oh, get this vaccine, you'll never get COVID. Now you're still getting COVID. And so I think they know they've been lied to over and over again. And they're mad that people like me are strong enough to stand up to it, even when their life is hanging over the balance. And I think they're mad that they could never do that themselves. They're worried that if they were in my shoes, they would buckle under the pressure. And then they're just mad that people like us aren't falling for it and didn't fall for all the nonsense. And I think it's just, then they get really either jealous or upset about it. But, you know, I just feel sad for these people that, you know, I think they've been severely misled. And I mean, sure, they'll say that about me, but I'm the one with the data on my side. I'm the one with the proof on my side. You know, I'm the one with the actual science on my side. So I'm very confident in everything I say. That's why I can say it with, you know, such fortitude and just be like, okay, this is what it is. I can just be blunt about it. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. And, you know, I guess, like, you know, like when I told my wife that God's going to work this for good, I really feel like God picked me to be in this position. Because I think it is difficult. I mean, just see thousands of people wishing death upon you just nonstop and stalking you. But, you know, I'm going to just try to take that as a badge of honor that I'm doing something right. And, you know, I'm getting the devil angry, and that's fine because I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Well, they're living in fear. Sorry, Allie. Yeah, sorry, they're living in fear.
I think it's interesting, you know, watching you, Shamgar, because I really think at some point your faith kicked in to such a degree that it's clear that's what's, you know, carrying you, because this is an extraordinarily painful situation to have that many people coming at you and to be able to be so composed and so calm. Have you seen your faith actually increase through this whole situation?
Yeah, because I mean, every day I feel like I can see God working through my life even more. So, you know, yeah, definitely I see my faith being increased. And, you know, so, and I see all these attacks. You know, the Bible talks about everything's a spiritual battle. And I really believe that's what's going on. And so all these people, whether they're wrestling with their own demons or other things, or they're just demon possessed in general, who knows? You know, I feel like, you know, that's proof even more that I'm just doing the Lord's work. So I'm just going to thank God for putting me in the position. I'm just going to do my best and keep praying and just keep following what I feel like the Lord wants me to do. And that, yeah, I think it's definitely, I mean, I've already had a really strong faith my whole life. That's, I mean, when you have a name like Shamgar and you have to tell everyone the story, and then you have to, and then it was like, oh, you know that about the Bible. What are you about this? What about, you know? So I've heard a lot over the years. So that's great. You know, when I was a kid, they called me Sham the Bible Man because I used to know all of them. I used to know the Bible by heart, basically. Like, you know, I was able to read, I guess, when I was like 2 and a half, and I had books of the Bible memorized, like by heart and everything. So, I feel like all that's prepared me for what I'm living through right now. So like, that's why I said at the beginning of this whole story, and now maybe it makes more sense to people. If I didn't have my faith, if God wasn't working in my life, I would probably be a disaster. I'd be a wreck. Yep, be a nervous wreck. For sure, 100%. But, you know, when you know God's working in your life, you know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And that's just what I'm citing and praying about every day.
So where are you now with everything? So you received this email yesterday, right, from the doctors saying that you are now going to be evaluated.
I downloaded the medical records. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I had a telehealth visit today, actually, and then they're trying to fill out the paperwork for other places. But like I was saying earlier, they think that these other places are going to require the vaccine as well. So then it's like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I guess we'll figure it out when that happens, but I need to follow the procedures first, you know, and go step by step with what they recommend. I can't just go doing whatever I want, really, which is because I want to follow like what the doctors are recommending. So my doctor's office knows how strongly I feel about not getting the vaccine. So I think when they know, because the doctor told me today, he's like, you know, well, you don't have to convince us about not getting the vaccine, really. It's about these transplant centers. So I guess we'll just
So your doctor agrees with you to have your own choice to make
Yeah, they did. They ultimately agreed, and he verified that today.
So it's literally the transplant center. So even if your doctor were to say to the transplant center, hey, as his personal physician, I'm going to give him a pass to make him exempt from the shot, they would not allow that.
Yeah, correct. That's what the doctor basically told me today was, you know, you don't have to convince us. You have to convince the transplant place. You know, he said that they don't mind my position on this at all. It's just that this is the policy of these transplant centers.
Wow.
Yep. It's a really difficult position that you're in. I can't imagine what that feels like. And even for your wife too, you know, knowing that this is something that you need, this is going to save your life. Have they given you any like timeline of anything? You know, I know you said you've been on this list for a few years. So what does this look like for you? If you don't get this transplant, like,
I guess if you look up online, they say most dialysis patients, you usually live about 5 years. I've been on dialysis 2 years, right? So, you know, it could be three, but the thing is, there's no definitive, oh, you're definitely 5 years, then it's over. It could be longer, it could be shorter. They don't really know for sure. It's just, you know, whenever it works out or it doesn't. So I just try to do my best for what it is. But that's what is more frustrating about this. I'd have to start over somewhere else now. And then it's what I was understanding anyway. And then for me, my blood type is O positive. So I would have to find a donor that was O positive, O negative, or be on the list again, which they say for a kidney to come up that's in that blood type, the average wait time is 5 to 7 years. So that means that by the time I started over somewhere else now, I would really be pushing it. And most likely I'd probably be dead before my time came up to get a transplant. So that's why, you know, people say you get the vaccine. Well, sorry, I'm still not going to do it. Even though that's the consequence, if it has to be, I have to stand my ground for what my rights are. And I guess we'll figure it out what happens with whatever transplant program I can or can't get on. But that's just what the numbers look like for what I'm looking
at. Wow. That's a tough pill to swallow, you know, to sit there and, you know, you've been on this list and now you're being told if you don't do this, then, you know, you don't get it. And then, I mean, this is your choice. It should always be your choice. You know, I don't know how these hospitals, these doctors and the governments have, you know, where did they get this control over our own medical choices? It's not right. It's really hard to hear this. My heart breaks for you. I mean, I know, like I said, you seem really like a really strong person, but I'm not going to lie. The situation is really sad.
Yeah. I have so much respect for you, Shamgar. It's just, I just keep saying it's insane. I mean, because it really is. It's a very inverted world. It's like a dystopia. I mean, it really is a nightmare. I know that you know, James said, God wins in the end, we will, you know, persevere, but this is extremely painful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for me to know what you're going through. So I can only imagine, you know, how difficult it is for you and your wife. So I just, you know, you have my utmost respect and love going out to you guys and prayers. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you will find a way through this.
Well, thanks. You know, and I'm just gonna keep fighting it because it's the right thing to do. And if, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, you're sinning. So, you know, I need to do this. This is the fight God put on my shoulders. And I guess if it's the burden I have to carry, that's fine. You know, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to take this position. And, you know, actually there have been a few of my friends that have written to me that said that some of their friends that have been obsessed with this vaccine and, you know, want to push it on people, they've heard my story and now they're rethinking their position. It's waking up some people at least. Yeah. So, you know, thank God for that. Hallelujah. Like, some people are waking up. My friend Kirk McKenzie contacted me And he's trying to work with me to make a national petition for people going through this. And so if you go to, it's libertylinks.io/KirkMack. And then the top link is you can fill out a petition for this. And he seems to be really on the ball about this because he's personally going through this too in his state in Montana, where he has been on dialysis for years. He's trying to get a transplant. Now they're denying him, but he has a lot of legal experience. So he's trying to work with trying to create something for that.
And, all right. Well, we'll make sure we put that link in the description of this episode as well. So when we finish this, conversation, you can send that to me. And okay. For those listening out there who want access to that, we'll put everything down below in the description. Shamgar, you're not the only one who's going through this right now. I appreciate you coming on here and sharing with us, with Ali and I, and with the world. It takes a lot of courage to be able to speak in a public forum about your personal choices in your life. And especially when it's a difficult time for your family. I know I asked this question for all of our guests that we have on here. This is a really important episode. I would love to hear if there's anything that you would like to leave with our listeners at home, any advice you have, or just anything at all that you feel people should know.
I think the main thing is that everyone needs to realize what's going on now is a spiritual battle, and you got to put God first in your life. And if you do, then I think you'll be successful in this battle. And I think you need to stand strong right now, no matter what, and really hold your ground, because you got to realize that this is the fight for you and your future generations right now. I mean, we are at the cusp of it. We're at the pinnacle where everything you do right now is very important. So keep the faith, keep God in your life, pray. Get other people to pray for you, and you know, just try your best every day. And you know, if I can be really sick and have a comorbidity and beat COVID, everyone else can too. And if I can stay strong despite everything I'm going through, everyone else can too. And you know, if I can be a beacon of light for people that God's shining through me, cool, that's great. I will gladly hold my arms out, take all the arrows. That's fine. You know, that's I'm perfectly fine with that. I just hope that people will defend the rights with me. And, you know, if they want me to be the poster boy for doing it, that's great. I'm all in, but let's all work together here, because we have to realize that, you know, even there might be the differences we disagree on different things in life, that we need to come together here. You know, we have a much stronger strength in for a team of us in prayer than all these people have in strength with their hatred for their divisiveness, you know? So I think if we all come together and we all work together, we're on the side of good. We know it. These people might virtue signal, pretend they're good, but I think deep down they know that what they're doing is good. I mean, screaming obscenities at people and wishing death on everyone probably isn't really that good. Mm-hmm. So I think if everyone just stays strong, I think we can see ourselves through this and have light at the end of the tunnel.
I agree. Thank you so much, Shamgar. It's been an honor to sit here with you, and thank you for coming on and sharing.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. And then if anyone wants to keep track, my wife has been running a GoFundMe page. If people want to donate, cool. I mean, we're trying to raise funds to sue the hospital because they're infringing on rights. And like I was saying earlier, it's not about even trying to get rich. It's about someone needs to hold them accountable and make some kind of big deal so that it sets a standard for everyone else to see, and that the hospitals be like, oh wow, I guess we better not treat our patients like this, or this will be us too. So that's what we're working on. I've been trying to speak to attorneys about this, trying to get it done, and trying to start a lawsuit so that people's rights will be defended. So if people want to check it out, I'm pretty sure you can just type in Shamgar Kidney GoFundMe. It's really easy whenever you type Shamgar or anything, because I'm the only one on the planet. Really. You know? So it's easy to find me.
You are pretty easy to find, yeah.
Yeah, so it's easy to find me. See, but the main thing is, like, I just need people. What we need people to do is just share the story. I feel like the more attention we can bring to this, the more pressure it brings on all these hospitals. Because everyone knows either a family member or someone close to them that has been sick before and needed medical care. And so this is an issue that really, I think, hits home for everyone. So I think if we put the attention out there, everyone can get behind this cause. You know, whatever their stance is on the vaccine or anything, either their politics, whatever party they're in, it doesn't matter. I think this can be a unifying thing. And so I'd just like everyone to share it everywhere they can. Just let people know, hey, look, if this isn't affecting me today, tomorrow it will. So I think if we just all band together, fight against this, I think we can make a really big stand and make a really big effort, which will in turn have, you know, really big effect, where I think a lot of these hospitals will stop doing this, because, I mean, everyone's doing it across the country now. So they hospitals need to see that people are not going to do it. And, you know, there have been a lot of people in support of me. They're taking themselves off the organ donor list. They're saying they want nothing to do with this anymore. And I think once these hospitals realize, oh, wow, all these people are not going to participate in this program, we're not going to have a program anymore, then maybe they'll be like, okay, well, we need to rethink this policy that's not fair.
Very much so.
You are amazing. Thank you so much, Shamgar, for coming on here again. We appreciate you sharing your story with us. I'm definitely going to link your GoFundMe down below in the description of this episode, along with any other links you feel like you may want to share with the listeners. Again, we appreciate you. I'm sending you all the healing energy and love that you so deserve. And if there's anything you need from us, you just let us know. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, it was great. And then anytime you want to ever talk about this stuff again, I'm always willing to talk about this, and I want to make a stand anywhere I can about this.
Sending you so much love, Shamgar.
Thanks.